This is Andrew Phipps with Faith, Family, and Freedom. It's good to be with you today. As always, thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule and allowing us to be a part of it. And wherever you might be viewing the program, we hope that indeed that it's a blessing to you today. We certainly appreciate our friends. We appreciate every outlet, every television station upon which perhaps we might be a blessing to you and to your families. You know, I feel like that we live in a time that's very unique. Back in the 1776 era, Thomas Paine, although he was an agnostic, they say, he wrote a little book called Common Sense. And he said, "These are the times that try men's souls." And I believe today that's what we're talking about here in America. I think that everything is so important. The forthcoming election this year, I think, has a lot and will say a lot about what direction we're going to go, whether we're going to remain a free economy, whether or not we're going to have freedoms expressed under the Bill of Rights as they are articulated there. What kind of a government are we going to have? Will it be communistic? We're basically, one of the main tenets is atheism. When people decide they want no part of God, that there is no God, no creator, no designer of the universe, no one being that has all authority, when the Word of God is neglected and considered immaterial, not relevant, I think we see and can see the consequences of that. It's unfortunate that so many people are lackadaisical, apathetic towards where we are. I hope that even in this program we can generate and help to activate your enthusiasm to be a member of a good Bible-believing church, to get right with the Lord before it's too late, make your calling and election sure, the old-timers used to say. Salvation is in Christ. And so we want to make sure that we do that first of all and admonish you and encourage you to call upon him while he may be found. But then secondly, we're all about trying to perpetuate and keep the family as we've always known it. I believe it was Will Durant in his voluminous work on the civilizations. He said that the family is the nucleus of civilization. Lee Iacocca, the former CEO at Chrysler, said, "What have you gained if you've gained everything and have not the love of family?" I think we see today that, you know, a Timex watch will give us the time that we need just the same as a Rolex. A little smaller car, perhaps, or vehicle will take us from point A to point B just like a Lamborghini will. We are going to have to realize that our material things will pass. Everything that we worked hard to accumulate, whether it's property, whether it's assets, a portfolio, or things that are tangible, one day somebody will make decisions as to whether or not they even want to keep those things. They may just decide that mom and dad accumulated a lot, but we don't want to be bothered with the decision making. So these things pass. And I believe it was in the sign many years ago that said, only what's done for Christ will last. Things are fleeting. Our lives are faster than a weaver's shuttle, the Bible said. It's like a vapor. It's like a flower that's cut down soon and fadeth and goeth. You know, Job said, man that is born of woman is full of trouble. And he went on to say that his days were appointed. None of us know the day that we may have that's reserved for us to meet our Maker, but I would admonish each one of us that we need to be prepared for that opportunity. That's why that faith, family, and freedom is important. As you know, I don't try to beg for money. I don't intend to do that. We're not out of a large organization, but so far, the Lord has been faithful to us, and I would rather have his assets and his backing than anything. I appreciate all the friends that do want to be a part of it, but I think that we are just at a time when we need to have a spiritual awakening. Our churches need to have a revival. We need to fan the flames of revival. We need old fashion type worship in our churches where people get excited about the love of God and want to do something in that manner. You know, I would remind you again that we hope that you might be able to catch us on our BBS podcast. It's on every Tuesday night at 9:05 p.m. Eastern Time. 9:05 BBS podcast. And also we're doing a podcast for our friend Ed Henry. He's asked us to start every Wednesday of the week at on the podcast there that he has, Wake Up Patriots. And so we're appreciative of what the Lord has done for us and is doing through us. It's an exciting time. But I want to thank you and also tell you that you're going to enjoy what's in the format today. Let's return to those particulars.
In the early 1600s, the Dutch settled in what is now New York City and established New Amsterdam as a trading post. They purchased the entire island of Manhattan from the local Native American Lenape tribe for goods worth about $24 at the time. This transaction is famously known as the Purchase of Manhattan and is a fascinating aspect of early American history.
It was the year 1940, and New York City was a lively hub of activity. Hundreds of people hurried above the train station, eager to catch the Long Island trains. On the platform, people anxiously waited for the train to arrive, faces filled with excitement and anticipation. Finally, with a rhythmic clatter, the train pulled in. Doors swung open and a wave of people entered, finding their seats amidst the sea of passengers. Inside the train, it was a lively scene. Men in sharp suits exchanged stories while women chatted and giggled. Some had their noses buried in newspapers, and a few found solace in the pages of a good book. The train journey was a snapshot of life, a microcosm of the city's diversity. As the train rumbled along, the cityscape outside transformed. The West Gates approached, and men in suits disembarked with purpose, their polished shoes clicking on the platform. The streets were filled with the hum of yellow cars and buses, their engines humming as they weaved through the labyrinth of skyscrapers and brownstones. It was a day like any other in the city that never slept, where dreams were pursued against the backdrop of towering buildings that seemed to touch the sky. On the sidewalks, men and women in fancy dresses strolled, their laughter echoing through the air. The innocence of youth in stark contrast to the bustling city around. The streets were alive with the rhythm of New York, a symphony of urban life. People flowed in and out of shops, their eyes exploring the array of goods on display. Some were busy choosing, while others had already made their selections. This day in New York unfolded like a snapshot of life in 1940, where the city's energy pulsed through the streets, creating a vibrant and bustling atmosphere.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now, and as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story written in a way that only Andrew can tell, from early survival and great loss to eventual success and many aspects of his life. Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, It's Always a Struggle, But, by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Friends, sometimes when we look at what the experts, those people that really are full of themselves, that believe that they have the answers to every question and answers to things where there are no questions, you know, they are very scholastic, they think, erudite and scholarly, and the more degrees seem like the more enamored they are with their own self-sufficiency. But sometimes it's really good to see what happens when you have people that take a look and eviscerate, go right in to these proclamations of these experts that have become experts on carbon neutral, on global warming, and some of those things. And it's funny sometimes. I see people like Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, how that he can just shred some of their false narratives. Today we have two or three, I think, here that I believe would be worth listening to. In our Faith, Family, and Freedom, we like to include things. Sometimes it's just a little blip from maybe a video made way back in the early 1900s or something like that. But let's take a look at these three little videos. One says carbon neutral. The other is dictatorship. And then another one is the word.
If it costs $50 trillion, as some of your colleagues have testified, to become carbon neutral by 2050, how much is that going to lower world temperatures?
So every country around the world needs to get its act together. Our emissions are about 13% of global emissions.
Yeah, but if
right
you could
now.
Answer my question, if we spend $50 trillion to become carbon neutral in the United States of America by 2050, you're the Deputy Secretary of Energy. Give me your estimate of how much that is going to reduce world temperatures.
So first of all, it's a net cost. It's what benefits we're having from getting our act together and reducing all of those climate benefits. We're seeing.
Let me ask again. Maybe I'm not being clear. If we spent $50 trillion to become carbon neutral by 2050 in the United States of America, how much is that going to reduce world temperatures?
This is a global problem. So we need to reduce our emissions and we need to do everything we can.
How much, if we do our part, is it going to reduce
world
temperatures?
So we're 13% of global emissions.
You don't know, do you?
So we're 13% of
global
emissions.
If you know, why won't you tell me?
If we went to zero, that would be 13%.
You don't know, do you? You just want us to spend $50 trillion and you don't have the slightest idea whether it's going to reduce world temperature. But you're the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Energy, and you're advocating we spend trillions of dollars to seek carbon neutrality, and you can't, and this isn't your money or my money, it's taxpayer money, and you can't tell me how much it's going to lower world temperature?
Every dictatorship has one obsession, and that's it. So in ancient Rome, they gave the people bread and circuses. They kept the populace busy with entertainment. But other dictatorships use other strategies to control ideas, the knowledge. How do they do that? Lower education. They limit culture. Censor information. They censor any means of individual expression. And it's important to remember this, that this is a pattern that repeats itself throughout history.
Paul did not write to Timothy, and he did not say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he did not write and say, talk the word, suggest the word, offer the word, whisper the word, Q&A the word, and hear me well, I love singing, but he didn't even say, sing the word. He said, preach the word, and that is the calling of this hour.
And friends, within the structure of our Faith, Family, and Freedom program, we like to share information. Some we might not agree with every part or partial. Some we might have some diverging opinions, but maybe there's something in there from which we can glean, even if it makes us think a little bit. And you know, we don't agree on everything with everybody. We don't claim to have all the answers, but we can go to the Word of God for the substance, for the foundation, and it's settled forever in heaven. But today we like to show you some things that even are from years ago, how that people like, Martin Luther and others, when he put the thesis about living by grace and how that by faith, and went against the tenets of that time of Catholicism and basically was saying that, it's not works by which we can appropriate salvation, that Christ does it and that we receive it by faith. Let's take a look at this little video, and then later I have some other comments for you that I want you to enjoy.
Martin Luther, do you think you are the only one who knows the truth?
I will tell you what I think. I have the right to believe freely, to be a slave to no man's authority, to confess what appears to me to be true, whether it is proved or disapproved, whether it is spoken by Catholic or by heretic.
Then you deny the authority of the Pope.
In matters of faith, I think that neither council nor pope nor any man has power over my conscience. And where they disagree with scripture, I deny pope and council and all. A simple layman armed with scripture is greater than the mightiest pope without it.
Heresy, Dr. Luther! Heresy!
Heresy! So be it. It is still the truth.
I have a couple quotes today, one by Thomas Jefferson and another by Thomas Sowell. Thomas Jefferson, one time President Kennedy, had a huge gathering of guests, people from the literary different communities, and he said this, President Kennedy said, "Never has there been so much talent assembled in the White House since Jefferson dined alone." Jefferson was a remarkable person. He had so many talents, a great understanding. He had a library that he sold, and then he couldn't do without his books, but he was an architect, a musician. He played the violin. He wrote some of the great laws, like on the Statute of Freedom for Virginia, and was the principal architect of the Declaration of Independence. And somewhere around 33 or 34 years of age, well, Jefferson was a remarkable person. And he says something here that I want to read to you. He said, "Whence once a republic is corrupted, there is no possibility of remedying any of the growing evils but by removing the corruption and restoring its lost principles. Every other correction is either useless or a new evil." That says something. Well, I'm not saying that we overthrow the government, but I'm simply saying this. I think when the people get so tired and so sick of what they witness, when, as I've often told people, I'm just glad that I don't get all the government that I'm paying for. And, when governments get corrupt, when people do things for their own personal gain, when they deem that more important than the health and wealth of the republic and people in general, something is very amiss. Let me read what Thomas Sowell, who, as far as I know, is still living in his early 90s. Thomas Sowell, a brilliant economist, said this: "Some of the biggest cases of mistaken identity are among intellectuals who have trouble remembering that they are not God." Isn't that tremendous there in that statement, that proclamation? Thomas Sowell, I think, has put the hammer to the nail. People sometimes, they can allow their education to ruin them. They actually get to believing some of the stuff, like they think that they become God, that they know more than, and obviously they put God in a secondary are in an inferior position. They want to usurp authority over the Lord and feel like that they are not accountable to anyone. And so as a result, we have this culture that reflects the idea of secular humanism, the idea that we bring God down to man's level and somehow elevate man up to God's level. And so I guess I'm just a fried bologna kind of a guy, but that's all right. Our family didn't have much. We didn't have a lot of money. My mother might have had a third grade education, but she loved us, and I loved her. And that's what's important. Things that she had a Christian testimony that's influenced me all of my life. And I wanted to share those with you. We'll be back for closing remarks. Friends, I've been enjoying being with you today. I'll look forward to being with you again at the next special opportunity. But until this time, this is your friend, Andrew Phipps, saying, God bless. Have a great day.